Yes, thank you, Mark. Yeah, this is our review. So it is so important. It's easy to think, oh, we've got to do this. But actually, remembering what he has done and giving thanks is incredibly biblical. Okay, so that's one of my intentions. But the second thing is to hear, again, what has God been saying to us looking forward? It's very important to review. We want to be a church that's built on apostolic prophetic foundations. So it is important we listen to what God's saying and we give it due notice. So, but we have done a lot and for the last year. So we're going to watch a video. It's basically to give us the information of what some of the things that have been happening from literally this month right the way back to October 21. So I'm no further ado, I will let you watch this.
Thank you.
great. Right, yes. Thank you, Jesus. There's so lots and lots of things to thank God for. And there's also been lots of battles as well. Just to draw out one thing which we don't mention on that slide, if you just go, sorry, to the next slide. I've missed it. That's it, that one. We also have done children's work throughout the whole year, and I just want to give real due knowledge to the children's work. Now, there are three different groups. There's Kids Connected with Steph that leads, Fun Zone, which is Francie and Abby, and Young Teens, which is Rowan, Sarah, and Ian Brown. And I just wanted to say what an amazing job these people do. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to mention Steph a bit later. And it's great to have such great people doing great things. So thank you so much. The slide before that, I think it is, Julia, the one with the pastors. I just want to point this out. This is significant. I've been involved with church leaders in Perth for quite a number of years. I'm embarrassed to say how many years. Certainly in the teens. And we have never seen anything like this. Never. And I would say in the first time in 20 years, it is the most significant development for churches in Perth that leaders go away together. It is significant. On our watch, this is happening. So keep, please pray for this. I've commented on it several times, but it is a significant development. In fact, one leader who's just joined one of the churches in Perth, a very youngest chap from the States, he says, I've been all around the world, different church situations, never seen anything like this in all the situations he's been in. So be really encouraged. That is exciting. Okay. Now, we do need to tackle the money. Yeah, if we just go to the next slide. So this is for the financial year. I won't go into it. It's slightly different to the year we've just looked at, but it doesn't matter. It's to just make sure you know some of the numbers. So this is at towards the end of March 2022. That's this March gone. Our total income for the church was $48,200, which is brilliant. Our expenditure was $43,850. So we had a bit of an income over expenditure, which is understandable, as Mark will put on the next slide, because we're coming out of COVID. So our income is very similar, but our expenditure is going back up again, but that's because we're now meeting again. Because during COVID, we didn't meet, so we actually saw the expenditure go down. So that all makes sense. And I know my dear trustees are very happy we're in positive territory. Not that you can never go in negative, but it's good to be in positive. Just connect. So a couple of headlines, points to note. Some of it goes towards us being a body which employs somebody. That's myself, actually. So we have professional fees and wages and all things, NI to pay, etc. We also have room hire, which is £3,000 a year, and refreshments and coffees and things like that. We also give. And I'm actually delighted to work out. I worked out yesterday, our giving is around 15% of our income. That is so good. I'd love it even higher, but that's fantastic. And we give to Christ Central and King's Arms. Christ Central is Roger's group of, Roger is part of a group of churches that we're part of called Christ Central, and they do church planting and all sorts of initiatives abroad. King's Arms, which is Resonate, we give to that. That's Phil, Phil Wilfie, we probably know. And then we've given to the food bank and also given one-off gifts. The food bank, I'll come on to in a second, is really key. We also give to CAP, and CAP is Christians Against Poverty, which is an organization that deals with debt, and we actually contribute both. I'm a member of the steering committee, and we give money to it. And then obviously we have visiting ministry. We thank people for coming and pay for their expenses and everything like that. Just on the next slide, this is a, I'm sorry you can't read it, but this is an email that came from the food bank, a lady called Jane Burns, who's the administrative officer, and we've just given another sum of money, £1,700, and she just put this comment. And I just think it's worth you knowing, because you give to this. This is what we're giving to. She said, between January and August, we fed 5,298 people, including 1,751 children. And without people like yourselves, we would not be able to support our local community in the way we do. A huge thank you to you and your congregation for your financial contribution, and not forgetting your ongoing dedication and support. That isn't that encouraging. Now, we don't do this for that, but it's encouraging when people respond. We do it because we love God, and God's heart for the poor is without doubt in Scripture. But it's great when we can see what we're doing is affecting our community. Okay, thank you. That's great. So looking ahead. Well, before we start looking ahead, I'm just going to look backwards. As a good review, you should always look at what you talked about last year. And so I'm just going to mention the things we talked about last year. And this is takes a bit of courage, but it's important to do it. We had several words and several things we brought to the table last year. One was about following his presence. We had this picture about taking a risk, following, and the picture from the Ark of the Covenant going through the Jordan, and the comparison with Moses, who just put his staff down and the water parted, where with the ark, they had to walk into the water and actually follow the presence. And we felt God was encouraging us to follow his presence. The God who stays in the Bible, or is it the God who manifests himself? And we are determined and encouraged to follow his presence. And that's what we have been doing this year. And we're going to do a bit more of very soon. The other thing was God spoke to us about being a city of refuge, which comes from the book of Joshua, where Joshua sets up cities where people can flee to when they're being accused and then get a fair trial. It wasn't like today where, you know, fair trials are generally okay. But in those days, people had to flee to be able to get to a place. And this is a picture of a refuge, of a place where people can run to, and we have been encouraged to be that. And I think both our work with, Safe Families and CAP is very much in that box. Isn't that encouraging? And we've seen Safe Families start in this period, which we'll comment on a bit later. Now, we had two other words. One was that we are called to, we're going to see a Nehemiah season. God spoke to us about coming into a Nehemiah season where speed would be fast. Nehemiah rebuilt a load of walls. He became a catalyst of one of the greatest rebuilding projects in Israel's history. And what the Israelites couldn't do in 72 years, they did with Nehemiah leading, did in 52 days. And we felt God is going to get, things are going to get faster. There's going to be possibly quick restoration and rapid growth. And then there was this one. We had this word as well. This came from Brian Gordon. Which he saw the word growth. He saw this word come, very simple, very direct, growth. And it applied to us at King's House Perth and also Numbers. It doesn't just growth in ourselves. It was a wider picture. And he saw this picture, and it was like a neon sign that you get in an American-style diner. It was warm and a red border, I've tried to reproduce it slightly better, with rounded corners. And it was creamy-coloured background. And he felt two things. He said, God has given us this, not for us to go and devise a strategy for growth. It's not to come up with a new campaign of evangelism, but it is by my spirit. And the second one was the picture of the sign, was it was an attractive sign, and that God is going to bring us into more people's attention. So that's what we had last year, exactly 12 months ago. Now, I would say if you look at those two things, we have seen some things happen, very, very good. But I wouldn't say we can argue about the growth. We haven't seen that. And in some cases, we've probably seen a little bit of the opposite. So where has it gone? Well, I just want to give you a quick comment, firstly on words that we receive and prophetic words in general. And then I want to give you some real encouragement in what God has been saying to us this year. So a quick comment on prophetic words. Nearly always prophetic words do not come with a timing. The odd occasion they do, mostly they don't. They don't come with a sell-by date or a time because they require faith and trust in us. They call us to step more into faith and trust him. If he's just said, I will do this by then, what's our natural reaction? Just stop. If what he wants to do, when he speaks to us, it's to encourage us to trust him. We're about a relationship. And often it is faith and trust that he's calling us to. Now, I actually think God has spoken to us, encouraged us this year in the midst of quite a lot of challenges. And I'm just going to bring your attention to two words and a reminder of a word he gave us a long time ago. So if you'd just like to go to the next slide. We had in May this year a visit from a gentleman called Raj, who was visiting us from Middlesbrough. And he approached coming to the church, and he went over some bridges near Perth, he says, and this is his words. And he said, as he was approaching coming to us in Perth, he came across these bridges, and he said the thing that stood out to him was when he went across the bridge, he couldn't see anything on either side. You can do here, because this is Google Earth, all right, and the things on the top of the car, but mostly you can't see. You can just see the hump in the road, and you can't really see what is on either side. But he knew stuff was there. But the only way he had to go was to go over the bridge, not being able to see very much in the future. And then he felt the reminder, he was reminded of Amos 9, verses 13 to 15, and he felt this, he said this, and this says in Amos 9, it says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from the hills. And I will bring my people Israel back from exile. They will rebuild ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I've given them, says the Lord. And then he says at the bottom, I want to leave you this encouragement. This is Raj saying, I want to leave you this encouragement. This is what's over the wall. That's what's on the other side of the bridge. And he really wanted to say, these days are coming. It was a really, really beautiful encouragement. And as you're going over and you can't see everything, it's confusing. It was such an encouragement. Then there came a second one, which was a guy called Craig Cooney, who was on, he was on the internet, and I always careful with anything on the internet, as you can guess. I'm always want to know where and who he is. And I have listened to this prophecy, and I shared it with about a dozen people, and every single person has responded to this with, wow, that is so spot on for where we're at. So if we're just going to play a short video, this is him prophesying, and it's called Delayed, you're not delayed, you're just early.
You're not delayed, you're early. I had something happen to me about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. We were in Portugal on vacation, and when it comes to traveling, tend to be very organized. I check everything, I book everything, I plan everything. Everything's in order. And when we were coming home, our flight, I checked it a few times, 9:30 a.m., got up at 4, 5 o'clock, got the taxi to the airport, were there 3 hours before the flight, plenty of time because there'd been delays in the past. And we walked into the airport, expecting to check in for our flight at 9:30, and discovered that our flight wasn't until 12:55. We were, 3.5, 4 hours early. And I couldn't believe it because I had checked 3 or 4 times during the vacation what time our flight was at. And I knew there was something in it. And as we were sitting in the airport, I felt the Lord say this, Craig, you're not delayed, you're just early. You're not delayed, you're just early. And we had to wait around for 3.5 extra hours. And I hate airports. I hate waiting in airports. But it wasn't because we were delayed, it was because we were early. And I think the Lord wants to say this to some of you right now who keep thinking that you're delayed, keep thinking that things aren't happening because of delay. It's not that you're delayed, you're just early. In other words, what I would believe the Lord would say is this: you are ready, but your transportation or your destination isn't ready for you. You see, we were ready to fly at night. We were ready to fly at 7 a.m. but our flight wasn't ready until 1 p.m., 5 to 1. We were ready. We were more than ready. And I think for some of you, you are ready and you've been ready for a long time. But your transportation, how the Lord's going to get you to the next place, or your destination, the place you're going, isn't yet quite ready for you. And that's why you're waiting in the airport. And I think that's a good analogy for where many of us are right now. You know, often we would use the illustration of a holding pattern. But actually, I think an airport is a better illustration right now. An airport is somewhere nobody chooses to go. We don't get up on a Saturday and go, kids, what will we do today? Let's go to the airport and hang out. Nobody goes to the airport unless there's a purpose of going somewhere. It's not somewhere you go just in and of itself. It's somewhere you go to go somewhere else. And I think a holding pattern is when you're in the air and you know where you're going, you've got your destination. But I think a lot of us are at the airport right now and we're not actually completely sure where we're going. We're not delayed, we're early, but actually we're not completely sure where the flight's going. Our bags are packed, we're ready to go. That sounds like a song. But all we're waiting for is the ticket, so that we find out where our destination is. Does that make sense to any of you? That you know you're going somewhere, you know there's a shift, you know there's a change, and you're ready. Like, you don't know what else you can do at this point to get ready, and you're frustrated and you're fed up and you're tired of waiting. But there's nothing you can do. There was nothing I could do to make that flight leave any earlier, even though I was 100% ready. There was nothing I could do to change the situation except go.
Brilliant. It's an amazing message, because God spoke to me over a year and a bit away, about an airport. He actually spoke to me about an airport, and he said there's a very important bit coming about an airport, and he talked about focusing on the airport, and I never quite twigged it, and Francis shared it actually. But this is a really important message. We're not delayed, we're just early. It's not a holding pattern. The destination and the transportation isn't quite ready. All you have to do is wait. There's nothing else you can do. Don't get frustrated. Don't push things too hard. Don't force what is not already enforced. And I look at it and I've been thinking quite a long time about it, and just looking at us as a church, we've got 7 excellent preachers. I often think when I go home on a Sunday morning, wow, what an amazing set of preachers we've got. We've got 4 worship leaders who do an amazing job. We've got an excellent kids work. I'm just going to say this, as Steph's not here, but Steph is a unique individual. She has a passion for kids work and a vision for kids work, which is way, way above anybody I've ever seen. We've got young teens work, which I think is just about starting and is going to grow and be exciting. We've got 2 amazing functions to the city, Save Families and CAP. We have a place to pray. We've got prayer weeks. Everything. There's so much. He's ready. Now, it's not perfect. Don't mishear me. Oh, there's so much more I'd love to do, and I'm sure you guys would do. But it's amazing to think we're ready, but we are not delayed. We are ready. All we have to do is wait, which is a deeply frustrating thing to do. Thy mind then went on to the next final word to bring together, and it was this one. And it was around the house on the river. Now, we did this a long time ago. When I say it came, Francis shared it as a word that about us as a church, that we are quite a unique church. We have unique foundations. We're built next to the river. It's a pioneering aspect. And this was a program on grand designs. And it was basically a a house which was designed to respond to the flood. So instead of it flooding, like most houses do and get damaged, it would actually float. It would be its own little dock, and it would lift up when the water came. It's absolutely stunning, stunning idea and design. It's in the River Thames, actually, on an island. But the story, I was reminded of the story because there was an incident in that whole program where actually they had a disaster. And what happened was they got the wettest January on record. If you just go to the next slide. And they'd started building, they'd put the dock in, they'd even started to get some of the foundations done, and the rain came and it absolutely flooded the whole place. It was in fact too dangerous to get even on the site to continue the work for months. And they even say, we were utterly at the mercy of the storm. They felt totally powerless. They use the words, it ravaged their plot. It was a body blow. It was completely the opposite of what they were trying to do. They're wanting to build a house that floats. And now they had that. But let's remember this. Even though the opposite had happened, their design was perfectly okay. It was exactly the right thing. But the flood came. Was the design right? Did they sit back and go, we've got the wrong thing, we need to move up the hill? No. Did they say, we shouldn't have started the project, we should have started, oh, we're too late with it? No, none of it. They just had to handle and weather the storm. They had to pump out the water and they had to keep going because the design was right. And I just want to summarize a little bit what I feel God is saying to us. I think he's encouraging us through Amos and Raj, the Amos 9, these days are coming, but we can't see them at the moment. We've just got to go across the bridge. I think through the Craig Cooney video, we are not delayed, we are early. And then through this, I feel God saying to us, what the design is right, but the opposition can happen and we've got to weather the storm. And we need to wait well. That's not go to sleep, not to fret, not to neglect what we actually know. Waiting isn't just fading out. It's not just going to sleep, or in my case, fret, as Tom constantly challenges me about. Get anxious, with the words, all right? It's not those. But we don't, in our waiting, forget what we actually know. The design was right. What do we know? And there are things I can say we don't know. There is an element we don't know. We are wandering around the airport. I just want to be clear. And I don't mind as a leader sometimes. We don't know everything. We don't understand everything. We're not sure what to do. That's okay. That is part of our walk with God. I remember Gail just recently sharing with me about actually in a fog, even maps become irrelevant. When you're in a fog, in a difficulty, we had a picture about windscreen wiper actually from Brian. As it clears, we can then see what we're doing, but we need to switch on the windscreen wipers. But in a fog, maps actually don't help you because you can't see anything. And that moment, you don't know. Now, what is the sense you tend to move on in fog? If you're up a mountain, what sense? You can't see very much, you just see a little. What sense would you start to use?
You stay put.
What sense would you use? You'd listen. And this is what Gail said to us. She said, sometimes when we don't know and don't understand, we just need to listen. We need to shut up and listen. Because often in a up a mountain, you're listening just for those little signs of an echo down a valley or the water going through down a brook, and it gives you some guidance. It's so important. So I think we do need to spend some time. And it was interesting, in our prayer week, we actually came to this point where we don't know what to do next over something, and we just said, let's listen to God and pray. So it's so important when it's not there is a place we don't fully understand, don't know. But what do we know? And I'll finish on this. Well, we do know culture matters. Culture is critical. Culture is greater and better than strategy, even more important than vision. Wow. Now, I know leadership is visionary. Do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying you don't have a vision. Jesus, you know, gives an example, looks at the fields and says they're ripe for harvest. And we must have vision. But vision itself doesn't create lasting change. Culture does. And to be honest, you can have the best vision statement in the planet, and many organizations do, but culture is what impacts the ability for that vision to come to fruition. Culture is the way we do things on the day-to-day. Culture is determines what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's in, what's out, what's important, what's not so important. It's like soil. Culture's like soil. It will grow stuff. Whatever you do, it will still grow. So it needs a border. It needs to be tended. Weeds need to be removed. And you need to sow into it. You need to nurture it. And we know this. So we need to keep our culture. One, two things we're going to keep doing. We're going to keep doing hubs. And I feel they're key to growth somewhere along the line. But the second one is what Tom brought to us, is that we need to revisit grace. Now, grace and culture, you think, well, okay, he's stepping all over the place. Actually, all of our cultural values come from a deep understanding of the grace of God. And I think we need to revisit grace again. Now, actually, this is one of the greatest parts of the gospel. It is the gospel. It is the thing that's outstandingly different to everything else, is the grace of God. So we're going to do a series on grace in the next few weeks to re-understand that cultural thing in the center of us that's so, so important. And grace is far more than just acceptance. It's not just, oh, we accept each other. Oh, I've got grace for that person. Grace is the actual power of God for us to do what he's asked us to do. It's absolutely got all sorts of forms. And we're going to be looking at grace in the next few months. The next thing we know is the lost matter. We know this. We've seen some amazing results from our Alpha. In fact, one of the people here is from our Alpha course. In fact, two people came from our Alpha course. And it is something we know in the fog, in the not sure. Where are we going? Going across the bridge, we still know the lost matter. So we are going to be doing a new online It may be in person as well. I don't want to preempt that yet. But we're going to be looking in the end of January to do the Alpha course, because we know the lost matter to God. And it is vital that we have something that people can be invited to. So maybe in the next couple of weeks you can start praying, who could I invite to an Alpha course? And we'll obviously get some details out to you. And then the number three, second to last, is something else we know is prayer. And even when you don't quite know, as I've always said, you listen. One of those key things is prayer, and following that is worship as well. But we're going to be doing online prayer again in January. I do encourage you to come to these sessions. They are so good. It's like when you go and have something to eat that's really good, and then you go, I want more of that, and you start eating more. Once you get there and start getting involved with prayer, it is phenomenal. So we'll be looking in January to be doing more prayer, certainly doing a prayer week. And then the final one is, look, what we do know is God has given us two arms to reach the city and serve the city, is compassion. And he has actually spoken to us as well. A word Phil Wilhue gave us in November 2020, and he talked about the whole thing. I can see aircraft and helicopters coming and dropping supplies on the front line, and there's something going to open up in the city in a greater way to those in need. This is amazing, actually. I'm thinking about this. Sorry, I'm looking at Matt. This is amazing. If something is going to open up in the city to those in need. We already had CAP, so this is actually just before Save Family started. One frontline area of advances in the city is going to be connecting to the most vulnerable and connecting to those in poverty, and particularly food poverty, which is interesting. Food banks is what has come out in the, one of the key things we've been supporting. And I feel accidentally you'll stumble on things, and it's been one of God's key strategies for you. And I could see the name of your church becoming known in the city because of the way you care for the poor. I felt God say, you keep feeding them, he will keep supplying you. That is an amazing word in November 2020, where we are now. And I think we should know, and we do know. We have two. So please, those who volunteered, brilliant. Thank you for training, getting involved. If you would like to, get sign up. Go and speak to Brian and Matt, because there's opportunities there. I know it's not for every single person in the church. Don't get me wrong. I understand there's people who can't do this. But if you can, sign up. And we will continue to support those two and look forward to what God is doing. So to conclude, and I'll finish on this. He has promised us the days are coming. As Raj says, the days are coming. You may not be able to see them and may be stuck just going over the bridge. But I want you to leave that encouragement with you. This is over the wall. The days are coming. We're not delayed. We're just early. It's so easy to give up at that point when you think, oh, but to hear that in your heart, we are not, we're just early. The design is right. And if the opposite happens, we need to weather the storm, like the owners of that house, dress it down and keep going. It is a challenge. It's challenging. But we need to wait well. Waiting well is not going to sleep, not neglecting meeting together, not fretting, Julian, not getting anxious, but to wait well. And now I remember my son saying to me, he says, the one thing I hate about my Christian life is waiting. I went, yeah, there's a lot in the Bible about that one. And it is to wait well with faith. And I believe some of this will really help us as we keep going forward throughout the year. And then to remember what we know. We know culture matters. We know the loss matter. We know prayer matters. And God has blessed us with two opportunities to serve the city in a phenomenal way. That's it, folks. Thank you so much for listening. I've been reasonably long. Do you want to just pray, Mark, for us all as a church and finish on that?